This morning we'd like to turn to the book of John, chapter 2. John chapter 2, to read the first 11 verses. We've spent the last 2 weeks in introduction to the miracles of Christ, and this, what we read here, is the first recorded miracle of Christ. John 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted or lacked wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, that is Jesus, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? An hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were 6 water pots of stone. Then he tells us why they were there, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, that is the servants, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And the ruler of the feast had tasted, and when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. When men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. Now, this particular miracle, again, it's the first recorded miracle of Christ, and only John records this miracle. But that we are told specifically in verse 11 that this is the first of Christ's miracles immediately sets forth its significance. It is the first. The actual miracle is clearly stated in verse 9. The water that was made wine. The water that was made wine. The miracle was that Jesus turned water into wine. The water was not made to look like wine. The water was not made to taste like wine. The water was made wine. It does not say that Jesus made more wine. It says the water was made wine. It does not say that Jesus made better wine, though he did. But it's the water was made wine. That's the miracle. The miracle is that he changed one element into another. He changed one element, water, into wine. It is not specified how he did it. It obviously took place while they were pouring the water into the stone jars. But it doesn't say how Jesus turned water into wine. Just simply that he did. The water that was made wine. Now there was a twofold result. In verse 11, we see that it manifested forth his glory. And all the miracles of Christ, that is one of the purposes of the miracles of Christ, as we saw the last couple of weeks, is to manifest forth the glory of Christ. That's first and foremost. Secondly, we see another reason for all the miracles, and is that people would believe. And we see here, and the disciples believed on him. Now, obviously, they are disciples, so they already believed some things concerning Christ. But their belief was strengthened. Their knowledge was expanded by these miracles, this particular miracle of Christ. So, as you look at the recorded miracles of Christ, they are meant to teach you and I. They are meant to teach you and I lessons. They teach us, every single miracle teaches us of man's need. Every one of them. No matter what category you're looking at, whether it be miracles over nature, such as we're looking at right now, or miracles of healing, or miracles over demonic forces, or resurrection miracles, each and every miracle presents a need of man. And each and every miracle also presents the sufficiency and the efficiency of Christ to meet whatever it is that man needs. In every miracle, Christ proved that he had what man needed. And in every miracle, Christ proved that he was able to meet the needs of man, whatever those needs are. Now, I believe that this first miracle is a pattern. It is a pattern to the character of all his miracles. What's sad is that most people get all tangled up and snagged on the issues surrounding the wine, on the issues surrounding alcohol. They get all snagged up in that. And they miss the whole message of the miracle. There needs to be no issue concerning the wine. What kind of wine did Jesus make? He made real wine. He made real wine. There's no question about that. He did not make grape juice here. He made wine. And it was strong wine. It was the best of wine. But that's really not the issue. We see this is a pattern. This is a pattern for all the miracles of Christ. All the recorded miracles of Christ, all the miracles that you and I experience today. This is a pattern. So we want to look at that this morning. We want to see this miracle as a pattern of the character of all of Christ's miracles. First of all, notice the people that were present at the wedding, because that sets forth a pattern. Verse 1, we are specifically told that the mother of Jesus was there. Mary was there. But as you read on, you see that it was not for Mary to decide what Jesus would do. That wasn't her business. That wasn't her place. And that's true in all the miracles of Christ. It's not for man to decide. It's the Lord's business. We see also the disciples were present at this marriage as well. In verse 3, we see when they wanted wine or when they lacked wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. She presented a need, but she had a motive for presenting that need, and Jesus knew that motive because he knew everything. And that he knew that motive is very plain from his response to her. He said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. He is basically telling her, I will do things my way. I will do things my way, is what Jesus is telling her. Now that's true of all the miracles of Christ. We need not to dictate to God. We present a need, and that is all we need to do. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. But the miracles of Christ do not have their basis on who people are. Had no basis on who Mary was. And the miracles of Christ do not depend on who you are. But rather, his miracles take place in spite of who we are. In spite of whatever position we may hold. All his miracles are of grace. Every single one of them. Secondly, we see the instruction to the servants sets forth a pattern. Mary gave instruction to the servants there in verse 5, and she gave very good advice. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Don't ask any questions. Don't hesitate. Whatever he says, do it. That's good advice. You can't get better advice than that. And following that advice, Jesus gave specific instruction to the servants. He said, fill the water, in verse 7, fill the water pots with water. No one asked, Lord, it's not water that they lack. They lack wine. What good is it going to do us to fill the water pots with water? Where are you going with this? No one asked any questions. And there is a time when all questions need to cease as far as the Lord is concerned. So he says, fill the water pots with water. And the very next thing we read is, and they filled them. And they filled them without any question. Now, I'm not saying they didn't wonder. I'm not saying that in their minds they weren't wondering, what in the world are we doing this for? But no one asked. Jesus just said, do it. And they did. Now, the pattern here is God is pleased to use human instrumentality. Did the Lord have to have these servants pour the water into these stone jars? Of course not. Didn't have to. But he did. And the Lord is pleased to use human instrumentality, but he's not bound to human instrumentality either. God uses human instrumentality. He still does today. God uses you and I. God uses you and I to tell others about Christ. He doesn't have to do it that way. But he does. If God wanted to, he could have that piano speak. But that's not what he chose. He chose human instrumentality. And he did the same here. Now notice, man could not change the water into wine. Man could not produce wine. What could man do? They could take water and fill jars. That they could do. And that's what Jesus told them to do. Fill the water, fill the jars with water. You look at the miracles of Christ. In the variety of ways and the variety of people, variety of ways he performed those miracles. And the people that were used and how God used people to perform these miracles. God uses human instrumentality, but he's not limited. And that's where many times God's people get hung up. God's not limited. The human instrumentality. So don't just get your eyes on the human aspect, because Christ is far above. Man could pour water into the jars, but only Christ could change it into something else. Only the Lord could do that. We do ordinary things. We do common tasks. But it's Christ who takes ordinary tasks, who takes common tasks, and turns it into something extraordinary. Only He can do that. We see also the occasion of the miracle. Verses 1 and verse 2, the occasion was a wedding. Now, weddings are common experiences of life. And you look at the miracles of Christ, and they're all concerned with common experiences. It is Jesus being involved in ordinary situations. You see that all through the miracles of Christ. Aren't you glad that Jesus is involved in ordinary situations? It doesn't have to be something spectacular. Just ordinary situations. Notice also the place. We're told in verse 1 that it took place in Cana of Galilee. Cana of Galilee. Cana, for the most part, was an obscure little town. An obscure, insignificant little town outside of Nazareth. Had no special significance in its day. Just an ordinary, commonplace. And you look at the miracles of Christ, and it's over and over and over again, Jesus stepping into just ordinary places. But you know what happens when Jesus steps into ordinary places? He changes them. They're no longer ordinary. He takes ordinary places, and He makes them extraordinary. And we see this throughout His miracles. We see also He used the ordinary. We've already seen He used human instrumentality, but He used the ordinary. Verse 6 says, six water pots of stone. Six ordinary water pots of stone. This is what Jesus would use. And He would use water. Pots of stone and water. Ordinary, common things. But again, Jesus turns the ordinary into the extraordinary. And I believe these six water pots of stone are also they're empty. Pretty good picture of man's heart. Water, an emblem of the Word of God. Wine, an emblem of joy. We have a picture of salvation. That's true in all the miracles of Christ. We see also what He used was normally used in ritual. And this also sets forth a pattern. We see six water pots of stone. Why were these water pots of stone there? Verse 6 tells us they were there for the purifying of the Jews. They were there for ritualistic purposes. Christ is not concerned with ritual. And we see that these water pots of stone had been set apart for ceremonial cleansing, for ritual purity. But Christ transforms these ritual pots. Christ is showing them it's not ritual that you need. It's not ritual that you need. It's not ritual that any of us need. It's Christ. Christ is what we need. Ritual will not do it. Ritual will not produce wine. It's Christ. It sets forth Christ above ritual. He and he alone. Again, these water pots were empty at the time. And he alone can turn the emptiness of ritual, the emptiness of religion, into an abundance, of what man needs. We see also the nature of the miracle sets forth a pattern. This was a miracle of transformation. Verse 9 again says, the water was made wine. Three words. Water made wine. Water made wine. That's the miracle. And it is a transformation. And are not all the miracles of Christ transformation? It is a pattern. What it says is that Christ changes things. All the miracles testify that Christ changes things. Christ changes things that man cannot change. No matter how hard he tries, he can't change. Christ changes things that man does not know how to change. That man doesn't think it's possible to change. Again, we should all have learned, after you're saved a while, you cannot figure out God. Don't even try. You can't figure out how God is going to do something. We see this all through the miracles. We see it here. I mean, if you were to, they knew they were out of wine. If you were to ask people, well, what should we do? You had all kinds of solutions, but no one would have said, I think we need to take that water and we need to pour it into these jars, and I believe if we do that, it'll turn to wine. Nobody would have thought of that. Only Christ. And we get hung up trying to figure out how God is going to do something. You don't have to do that. You don't have to figure it out. Jesus just said, take the water, pour it into the water pots, and a transformation took place. To transform something is to make it of a radically different form. Jesus made water made wine. That is radically different. Wine is radically different than water. He changed it. He transfigured it. He didn't just rearrange it. We do that. We rearrange things. Jesus didn't just rearrange. He transformed. He changed it. And so it is today. We need more than rearrangement. We need transformation. The lost sinner needs more than rearrangement. The lost sinner needs a transformation. And again, many times we take all our efforts and we spend all our time rearranging things. But that's not what we need. We need to get to the heart of the matter. And that's a transformation. And that's what the Lord does. You and I can't do that. Oh, we can rearrange. But we can't transform. Only He can do that. And that's why we see that Jesus changes death into life, darkness into light, and on and on and on we could go. He transforms things. He changes things. You know, there's the saying, and it's a false one, But people say it all the time, prayer changes things. No, it doesn't. God changes things. You say, well, it's just a matter of words. No, no, it's pretty important. Prayer does not change God's will. Why would you want it to? Why would you want to change God's will? Prayer doesn't change things. Prayer may change your heart while you're praying, but God changes things. Christ changes things. And when it gets right down to it, that's what we all need. We need Christ. We need Christ to perform transforming miracles of transformation. And he does it still today. He does it with a lost sinner. Every time he saves one, there's a transformation that's taking place. A radical change has taken place. He does it in the hearts of his people. He does it in the minds of his people. He transforms. Now, he may use different things. He may use human instrumentality. He may use common things in life to bring it about. But he's the one that brings it about. Be careful who you give credit to, because all the credit is to go to him. He's the great transformer. And all these miracles of Christ reveal this. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father.